Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Welcome to Movies Hate You, a show about love. It's a show about, love of film. Wouldn't you say so, Todd? Don't we love film?
We do love film.
But film doesn't necessarily love us. Now, that's the point, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I've had people ask me, what does Movies Hate You mean? It means that they never live up to our expectations. It's like someone's making them to punish us half the time, or maybe three quarters of the time. I'm sure as a filmmaker, you've been accused of that, punishing a reviewer.
You know, I was told that I should never be allowed to have a camera in my hands again.
That's not fair.
That's the kind of evil stuff I dealt with.
There's a lot of evil out there. And that was before, I mean, your heyday. And that's kind of what I want to do is, in lieu of, you know, I thought to myself, well, you know, I need a guest. I need somebody to talk to and interview. And I realized I have one. And that's Todd Sheets, the filmmaker.
That's scary.
By the way, this show, Movies Hate You, is gloriously sponsored by BMovie.com. You ever hear of BMovie.com, Todd?
Well, of course. They've got me all over on there. They've talked about me there, and they brought me on a couple times. And yeah, I remember that site. It's been around a long, long time. Who had the old BMovies.com? Remember it was the guy?
Oh, yes, exactly. That's okay. Good. So we'll talk about that. That's right. It was SRS used to have that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you know what? I think he might be moderately still involved, but you know, MVD Distribution, I don't know if you've heard of them. They're out of Pennsylvania. They now own bmovies.com, and it's b-movie.com. And they've kind of taken it over and given it a new direction where they are pretty much putting out all their B-movie content. And you could find just about anything if you're looking for underground, offbeat, kind of weirdo B-movies. It's basically a retail site, but there is editorial on there. Reviews, interviews, etc., trailers, clips. And they were kind enough to sponsor this show.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I have some DVDs from them. They'll be giving me DVDs every week to review or talk about, and can bring on some of the filmmakers that are involved in these films, etc. And it'll be a blast.
Well, that sounds good. I'm looking forward to that. That's for sure.
I'm going to turn this on you, Todd. I want to. Do you prefer the King of Horror or the Prince of Gore? Because you've been called both.
I know it's weird. I to tell you the truth, I don't feel like I'm worthy. I just want to be called Todd. Because I'm not worthy for all that, man. I'm just like, you know what? That blows my mind. That just freaks me out that someone would call me that. But you know what? I'm thankful for it, and I appreciate it, but it is weird.
I think Prince of Gore has a better feeling than King of Horror.
It kind of matches some of the stuff I did for sure, I guess.
I don't know. King of Horror is like such a big title to live up to.
I can never live up to King of Horror. Nobody really can.
Who could? Who could?
I mean, well, there's many kings of horror, I would say, in different like kingdoms. Like in Italy, the king of horror was Lucio Fulci, and in America, the king of horror is John Carpenter, that kind of thing, you know.
But both have made terribly rotten movies that you can't sit through.
You know what's bad? I can still sit through them.
You can sit through Ghost of Mars?
I can, because I love it. I love it because I love John Carpenter. Anything he does, I'm like, I love it.
So to you, he is a king of horror.
He is the American king of horror to me. And Fulci's that way, you know.
I would think a king wins every battle.
And right? Not always, because King Arthur had win some, lose some, but he was still the king. Think about what that if you, Excalibur.
I'm going to thank you. That's true. I'm going to think about that. But, okay, I'm going to say then if your last four movies are terrible, then you've been dethroned.
You've been kicked out.
Yes. So John Carpenter's last four films.
I loved
them. Fulci's last four films.
I loved them.
Romero's last four films.
Yeah, but what about Carpenter's latest, man? I really enjoyed The Ward. I thought it was really good.
And I missed that.
I loved In the Mouth of Madness. I thought it was fantastic.
I'm not with you there.
Sam Neill, man. I just thought it was a great movie.
Oh, yeah, Sam Neill, but what about the rest of the movie?
Oh, I loved it. God, it had some great images, and it was tampered with, like always, but, you know, I loved it. And, of course, Fulci, I can't, you know, I loved Cat in the Brain.
Oh, Cat in the Brain is great.
I love those kind of flicks.
This is his last good movie. You like those TV movies he made?
House of Clocks or whatever? Yeah, I didn't mind it. It's got its points that kind of make you go, ah, what was that? But at the same time, God, compared to what's out there around here today, I'll take it.
there's more horror than ever being released. They can't keep up with it.
Sadly, yeah.
What about you? What is next for you? What are you going to do? You know, what is your next project? What are you working
on?
Well,
I'm actually working on several things. And one of them is going to involve 42nd Street Pete if I can ever get the budget together, because it's absolutely essential to make it. And it's a flick.
It's going to be a family picture?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have Uncle
Pete's involved, I'm wondering.
And the other one is actually a documentary that I'm wanting to get together with you, because I've had a couple offers on it, and it's a documentary about the old catacombs haunted house that I used to build and manage and ran it for 10 years. It was a site of a horrible tragedy, and also it's actually haunted. And so we're doing an actual documentary. The Ghost Lab guys came, and they were supposed to do one that was really in-depth, but it only ended up being 30 minutes after filming for 7 days.
Oh, wow.
So I said, let's really do this right. So we're going to film that this year, and out of all the people I thought of that I'd like to maybe try to get that put out through, I'd really like to try to maybe put it out through your awesome distribution company and see what we could do with it, because it is a documentary, and I know you've got inroads that would really help get a documentary seen by people. So I thought this could work.
Totally. And my favorite genre, by the way, documentary. And yes, I would love to. It sounds totally cool, man. Let's talk.
Heck yeah.
Let's sign a deal right now. Let's just do the deal on the air, man. It'll be the first time.
That is awesome.
That brings up what I do, and I guess that's a full disclosure, is that I do Wild Eye releasing. I curate and produce all the DVDs that we release. So that's where we'll come together and do something.
And tender loving care, I might add. That's the thing I love about what you're doing, and that's why, I mean, Pete and I both really think the world of you, and that's why I thought about, let's do this show, because I just talking to you, having you on Pete's show, we just really like you as a person, and we love your ethics and what you stand for, and we love the direction you're going with your distribution company. And we thought, you know, here's a guy who has the same heart and soul we have, and that's really nice to see you actually doing something in the business, you know?
Thank you, man. Thank you. That's really cool. That's how I got the show. I thought it was because of, you know, just because I'm so cool.
That all goes together in the cool category. It's rolled up as coolness. And it was the Richard Nixon Halloween mask that you wore that one time when you slaughtered that whole... we're not supposed to talk about that on the air.
Yeah, we weren't. Sorry. But thank you for bringing that up. No, we'll get to that on another show. See, that's what you do. You say something to lure the listeners the next time. Yeah, that's great, man. I'm glad... Did you like the documentaries they're starting to put out? I the thing with me is I personally go all over the place. Like, I can't just say, like, I'm a horror guy or I'm this guy or sci-fi. You know, it's just like I can't do that. It has to go across the board. I will watch anything. I will get into anything. So
me too.
It's documentary, of course, right up my alley. Oh, you got a kids film? Right up my alley. Comedy? Send it my way.
That is sweet. I draw the line with some movies, though. I kind of get to the point where I'm like, okay, no more teen or tween Disney films for me. I have to take my daughter to every one of them. At this point, I'm having a meltdown.
Now, what are those, like, the ones that are like, you don't know about me, or who are you texting now, or what's your number?
Like Glee, you know?
What's the name of it?
Like Glee, you know, the TV show. They put the movie out. And then, and if it's not that, it's High School Musical. And if it's not that, it's something else. And it's like, ah, no more, no more. But my daughter's, you know, she's 10. Of course, she's going to want to see all this stuff. So dad gets to take her.
Just think, in 20 years, when she's 30, that stuff's going to be like retro camp. And they're going to be going to theaters and paying another $12 or by that point $30 to see it on the big screen again, like they did when they were little kids. The same way we're looking at all the junk that we watched on Channel 9 when we were little kids and paying to see it over and over again. So there's something cool. See, I can find the cool in that. I can find that Glee is going to be outdated soon.
Like 3 days,
Yeah, in like 3 days from now. Maybe two. And it'll be camp, and it'll be, you know, people will be seeking it out, and there'll be midnight screenings of it. Who knows? But I like that about it. I like that they have their own life.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, only because after you've sat through about three of those, you're gonna see, you're gonna feel exactly the same as I do. You're gonna go, they may have their own life, but let it be on Mars.
It was like that Jonas Brothers 3D movie. I knew that was
exactly
a cash in.
And I had to take her for that. That was another one of the great thrills I had to deal with, but the thrill is being with my daughter and seeing her get excited about it. That's cool.
Right, watching her like sit on the edge of the seat and get into the movie. You know, you see yourself when you're that age getting into something that necessarily your parents weren't into, but they had to drag you to.
Yep, exactly. And it's kind of weird because she did her first big haunted houses this year, and she's pretty proud of herself for that because she really enjoyed going through all that stuff, and she's kind of wanting to see horror movies now. So I'm kind of trying to find some, you know, safe horror movies for her to watch that aren't going to scar her.
You show her Zombie Bloodbath.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be showing her that one. I'd better pass.
I think Violent New Breed would be a good introduction to horror.
It might. You know what? The scary thing is, I've remastered that, and I need to get a copy to see if the folks over there at Pop Cinema still want it. Because if they don't, it's a free agent. And the thing I love about that movie is Rudy Ray Moore, his only appearance in a straight horror film. Yeah.
Yes. You know, that's the thing. Correct me if I'm wrong. 18 movies you've made or produced, or I mean, directed or produced.
Too damn 18. Many. Yeah.
Why aren't you all over the place, man? You know, you were there in the dirt shooting on video. There's this whole resurgence now in video, shot on video horror, VHS collecting. I myself, along with a theater called the Nighthawk Cinema in Brooklyn. All right, I'm stuck in the New York area. So there's a theater in Brooklyn called the Nighthawk. We do a VHS show every once a month, along with a group called the Horror Boobs. You can look them up on YouTube. Just type in Horror Boobs.
That's awesome.
And we get a great turnout every time we do this. We are showing stuff. It's edited on VHS, deck to deck, old school style. It's played on VHS in a theater. There's a bar there. There's food there. Everybody has a great time. We just had Pop Cinema out there this past Thursday to promote their VHS release of The Basement.
Right.
The box set that they're putting out, everybody's talking about. I mean, there's a real kind of resurgence, I want to say, or I don't want to say it's a fad. It's not, because, you know, some of that box art was so beautiful back then.
Oh, it is, yeah.
And it's worth collecting, and I always thought that, and I always held on to my stuff, so I have a semi-respectable collection, but I'm not like some of these people I see on YouTube with walls and walls of tapes. I don't know if they just drive around all the time looking for tapes, or they just buy out store. I don't know what, you know, there's people like 18-year-old kids with like, hey, I got this rare copy of, you know, Elvira, you know, hosting, you know, some bad British movie, whatever, but the Elvira big box on Thriller video or something.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
People have this. I'm like, I held that in my hands when I was like 14. Well, how did these people get this? How did it survive this long? But that stuff's out there. And which brings me back to you again, because this is a pseudo interview with you. I'm not going to just go through your whole career, but I'm going to keep asking you stuff. No, it's worth going through, man. And you know what? And Googling you, there are interviews about you and the wonderful things you're doing with Nightwatch, but nobody's going back and saying, hey, this is one of the shot on video pioneers. You know, you came maybe 5 years later than stuff like Video Violence and Cannibal Cookout, but you were doing stuff then nobody else was doing. looking up some of your stuff, a lot of it, the VHS goes for a lot of money. Have you seen any of your stuff on Amazon?
Yeah, it's crazy. Someone said that they were trying to buy a copy of The Violent New Breed, but it was like $180 or something. I was like, what?
Well, there's one for $100 up there right now.
That's crazy.
On VHS.
That is just crazy. Moonchild, Vampire, I guess.
Yeah, Moonchild, Vampire Holocaust.
Lord, I just produced that one, thank God.
$90.
Jesus.
Dead Things?
Now that's out. I mean, that's one of the ones coming out. See, that's the thing. I remastered four movies. Catacombs, Fear of the Dark, which is a sequel to Catacombs, but only kind of, it kind of got reworked. Dead Things, and Violent New Breed. I have all four of those. I've remastered. I went back to the drawing board, and see, a lot of that is when you do that stuff on Hi-8, or we use Super VHS or 3/4, that stuff over time deteriorates, so I had to go back to the original masters that hadn't been played since I did the editing, and I had to pull in that and match the soundtrack frame by frame, which is meticulous and nightmarish. That's why it took so long.
Yes.
But I did it, and those are pretty much ready to go. I could go in and upgrade the effects so that everyone can call me the second George Lucas and call me names and hate me. But you know what? I totally understand where he's coming from. When I'm sitting there remastering these and I'm seeing a morphing effect that makes my whole body cringe, I'm going to redo it if I can. So,
but don't you think that's the charm of it?
Well, sometimes. But as an artist, you kind of have a vision in your head that you were never able to match because you had $3.22 for a budget.
I understand. I understand. But it's the past. You can put that stuff in the new one. You see, I'm not a fan of that going back. You know, I can see going back and messing with audio, or, you know, the color was off in one scene or something, but going back and doing effects, and so there's a charm to cheesy effects, there's a charm to low budget effects.
I left
effects.
Some of those,
and,
yes. I left
yeah,
some
and
of those.
Yeah, and the fans will tell you that. I mean, when we put something up on screen that was shot on VHS, that's the stuff that pops. That's the stuff that people clap for or yell at and want to see.
Well, like that Zombies Bloodbath 3 when we did the whole scenes with the space shuttle and all that, man. That back in the day, we thought we were really doing something because no one else had that technology, and we built this huge machine just to be able to do that. And now
you were doing something. That's the point. See, you did do something, and it had value then, and it meant something then, and that's why it should be preserved as is. Just like watching, you know, if I go back and watch, Star Wars, and it's been messed with, then I'm not really watching Star. I'm not looking at it. It's not a historical piece anymore.
Well, it's not. It's the nostalgia factor is kind of blown at that point. I agree. Yeah,
completely. That's part of what I remember. But I guess someone like Lucas says, you know what? I'm not making this for Rob because he's already paid his money 50 times and seen this and has it on DVD. Whatever. I want the next generation. I want the next 5-year-old, you know, to see it. Or the next 7-year-old to see it. And I have to give them effects, and I have to give them a feeling of stuff that's comparable to what they're seeing today.
I almost think, in the case of Lucas, I almost honestly feel like he's more kind of like that artist who had a visualization of something he really truly wanted to do, but didn't have all the tools. As you know about Lucas, he's really the reason we're even able to do most of the stuff they're doing today is because of George Lucas and his effects companies.
Absolutely.
And the fact that every time, like James Cameron always gets the green light saying, oh, he's a visionary. Well, yeah, he might be a visionary, but if it wasn't for Lucas, none of his vision would be on screen, because he takes it to Lucas every time and says, how can we do this? And Lucas and his ILM, they decide how they're going to do it, and they figure out a way to do it. And so I think that's why, in his mind, he's like, you know, I've done all this for everyone else's movies, but I couldn't do it for my own. And so he kind of wants to go back and paint the picture he had in his mind when he was writing the script. And I do see that point, but I think they should release both. Now, I heard that with the Blu-ray, it was really hard because 20th Century Fox was storing the original negatives, and they were destroyed somehow. They were stuck together, and something was wrong with them. And so, you know, everyone's like, well, he's got the money, he can restore them. I was like, do you really know what's involved in restoring negatives? This is negatives we're talking about. So it's going to be meticulous, and it's going to take many years. So they're going to – that's why he said, look, I'm not including him on this Blu-ray release. If you want to see the originals, I did release them 3 or 4 years ago on DVD for you, and that's the best quality there is right now. Mm-hmm. So enjoy those, and when we're able to, we will try to get these old theatrical versions Blu-ray ready. Only because, like he said, you know, when you go from negative to answer print to actual print of film, you lose quite a bit of generation there. And he wanted him to be, you know how he is. He wants him to be pristine, so.
I understand that. I understand that.
People are mean to him. Poor guy.
Well, you know, I think that's an interesting point about fandom is there is a real, I don't know, I don't want to say hatred, but there is a love-hate relationship you start to develop with these creators.
Yep.
Is that you feel like you deserve something, like, you know, and it goes both ways. You know, Lucas can remaster as much as he wants, and people can complain all he wants, but they are his, and he can do that. I think it has some kind of, you know, it's like when Walt Disney made Fantasia, it was supposed to be updated every 10 years as technology got better.
That's
right?
What he wanted, yeah.
And that's what I think he finally was able to do that with Star Wars, and I think he kind of has that same type of vision in his head. But you know what? Remake it then. Remake it, or just add new scenes to it. Do something really out there.
Oh, and if we remember when he did re-release those, the ones everyone complains about now, you know,
right?
When he re-released those in '97 to the theaters, that was all new. I mean, that was like, holy cow! I mean, there was like all these new things in there, new scenes that we'd never seen, and all these cool parts with the, you know, the creatures, and it was like, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
And then of course the backlash came later, but at the time, I tell you what, my son had never seen Star Wars in the theater, and he was so little, he was sitting on my lap watching this thing, and he just loved every second of it in the theater, man. Just loved it. So I guess that's kind of, you know, it brought a younger generation to it, too. So that was kind of a cool idea.
Let them do it. Make sure that the originals are available, though. That's what
I
say.
Yeah,
and there you go. And I don't know if I believe that story, but okay. Maybe the prints were stuck together, but okay.
There's something to do with the negatives there that there was a whole bunch of stuff that got damaged. And I'm like, you know, it doesn't surprise me because people today just everything they think in digital terms, they don't stop and think, wow, we really need to take care of this analog stuff. And it's just like comic books, man, going off subject for a second. But everyone's pushing these digital comic books. I'm like, yeah, what happens when your hard drive fails? You've lost your entire comic collection, fool.
Yeah. You know,
I'd rather hold them in my hand anyway.
Oh, you can't roll them up and put them in your back pocket? Forget it.
I hate that. I hate the little bitty screens on these phones and stuff. I'm like, yeah, oh, we can get an iPad. It'll be a big screen. Whatever. It's still not the same as a comic book in my hand.
It's not. It's not the same as a comic book. It's not the same as going to a movie. It's not the same as going, you know, hearing music.
That's why, for what it is, I really enjoy some of the download sites, you know. Netflix, I enjoy it because I can sample a movie before I go buy it, which saves me a ton of money. But still, to this day, I'd rather have the movie in my hand. Cover art, I don't want to download it on the computer. I want to hold it in my hand. That's the way I am. I'm a nerd. I still like Laserdiscs, man.
Well, that's nerdy, but the other thing is not nerdy. It's not nerdy to want it that way. You know, and it's not, you know, I think the world today will make you think that you're being an old-timer by wanting that. But I think a lot of people still, I mean, people still buy CDs, people still buy DVDs, people, you know, there's just this other aspect of it all happening. I mean, we still sell DVDs. I mean, my company sells DVDs. I get the orders. I see it. So people are out there in a store looking in a bin, buying a DVD. They're not running home to download it. It's not as crazy as you think it is. I think just taste has shifted. There's a lot of choices now. So you're competing in a bigger pool. I think there, for a long time, people had their little market cornered, or the studio had their market cornered, and they had control over the industry. So now they don't, and it hurts a little bit, but it's just growing pains, and it'll adjust itself.
It will. Eventually, people are going to be like, just like, who would have thought that, like you said, the VHS boom, man, it's back. People are loving that stuff, and they're missing it. The quality's still not, you know, I'm a quality freak, so I've always been kind of irritated with it. But
people are, you know what, I think we're going to have, you know, we continue doing this, we're going to talk to some I'm going to try to get some VHS heads on this show, and I want to have the horror boobs on and talk to them about what they do.
That'd
and this
be
whole
awesome.
VHS, because these are people in their 20s and early 30s, sometimes even, you know, younger than that, like, you know, 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kids doing this, so it's novel to them, you know, it's like, when I was collecting vinyl, you know, in the 90s or something, it has a feel, there's something about digging in record bins, you know, even though CDs were available and having the vinyl, you know, VHS it's a different thing because it's not looking for better quality, like where people would say, well, vinyl has better sound, you know, like with the VHS, you're definitely not going to get a better quality movie out of it. But there are so many movies not released on DVD or available for download or available on torrents or however you get your movies. There are thousands of movies out there on VHS that will never see the light of day. So you are preserving them too in a way, which is great.
Yep, I agree with that all the way.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, that should be done. And I'm glad it finally hit.
Yep, me too. You know what? We do have a guest for this show we're supposed to bring on here.
Oh, we are. Yes, speaking of... you know what? That's good, because I have a movie I want to talk to him about right here.
Good. So shall we take a break and give him a holler?
Let's do it.
Here in person tonight, White Horse Drive-In Theater, The Trial of the Dead. 18 living nightmares leap from the stage. All lights go out and the monsters are released from their coffins. They may grab you. Victims from the audience will be thrown from the stage a piece at a time. Human heads chopped off. Jungle worms and swamp rats run around your feet. Extra on stage, back from the grave. The spirit materialization of Bruce Lee, King of Kung Fu. It's real. On stage, not a movie. You may need help. Help! Help! Tonight, White Horse Drive-In Theater.
Attention all personnel. You got it. You got it. You found the most listened to radio station. Jackalope Radio.
And welcome back to Movies Hate You, a show about love. Sponsored by bmovie.com. I have to get that little plug in there because I get one penny every time I say it. I have in front of me, speaking of bmovie.com, a movie that they are exclusively distributing, and it's a documentary, and Todd and I, we were just talking about documentaries. This is called 42nd Street, River to River, and in it is the man who just joined us, the one and only 42nd Street Pete. He is in this movie, interviewed alongside Mickey Rourke, mind you. Does that mean on IMDb, Pete, that you and Mickey Rourke kind of like, you know, see who starred alongside him?
We worked together.
Yes, exactly. I worked with Mickey Rourke right after.
They made it look like that. Him and Michael Imperioli. And I think that old woman was on Dancing with the Stars tonight. Remember the one who was like, she was a chorus girl or something? Yeah, it was an interesting little documentary.
It's very cool, man. You got a ton of screen time in this thing, and I was glad to see you in there.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for coming on tonight, and thank you for being responsible for me doing this tonight, and thank both you guys for giving me a shot doing this.
Yeah, well, you're about a month into this, you won't be thanking nobody. Welcome to Jackalope105FM.com.
Hey, man, I'm proud to be doing this. Are you saying that's going to be tough to come up with material every week?
Well... I thought it would be till I just, you know, took those drastic right turns here and there, and now my show is a complete shambles of what it was originally set out to be. Such a shambles that I could not even wind up getting, you know, the airplay that you will on these wonderful FM stations.
You wanted it to be just about grindhouse movies.
Yeah, and it just became this whole sputtering, cursing, wild beast, you know, just...
Don't let him kid you. He loves his monster he created.
I think he does, and I think it's probably one of the most popular shows on the station.
It is.
See?
Yeah, nobody watches that Night Watch thing. That's horrible.
Thanks. <Wow. laughs> Thanks a lot. I got to bust your balls now, okay?
Go ahead.
What the hell were you doing watching Celebrity Dancing in the first place?
I was trying to stay awake. And, you know, the best way you can stay awake is watch something shitty, but I was falling asleep anyway. I noticed you called and woke me up. I feel like shitty today, but what the hell can you do?
Didn't you know, and thank you for the family language, didn't you know that Dancing with the Stars is Grindhouse, man?
Yeah, like West Side Story.
No, they should do a Grindhouse version where it's like, you know, Fred Williamson dancing with somebody off the street, and then...
But Fred could still dance. He's in relatively good shape.
I'm sure he could. All right, so who's not in good shape? We'll put down John Saxon dancing with...
Yeah, I don't think John would go with Turner, too. You know, Ted Michaels, I don't think so.
No, he's not going to do it. Ted Cassidy, is he going to do it? Oh, he's not with us.
What am I saying? You can't dance with a dead... You can dance with a dead guy, but...
Sure you can.
Yeah.
Why isn't Pete on Dancing with the Stars?
Number one, I don't dance. I didn't even dance at my wedding. That was years ago, light years ago, in a weird place so far, far away.
I got
Thank
you.
God that's over.
What, the wedding? You're glad the wedding's over?
Wait, all that stuff's over. I am now detached, and it's better that way.
Well, there you go.
Well, I might not be detached after Wasteland, so we'll see.
Yeah, what's going on? Wasteland's coming up this weekend. Talk about
it. Oh, yeah, the big Hennenlotter Fest. Frank Hennenlotter, who really doesn't do shows, is going to be at the Sino Wasteland in Strongville, Ohio, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this coming. And a lot of people from his films, Charlotte Kemp from Frankenhooker, Beverly Bonner from Basket Case, Anthony Sneed from Bad Biology, James Lorenz from Frankenhooker. You know, and then we're going to have Ginger Lynn, first time ever. My friend Eric Danville is coming up to plug his, you know, upcoming, you know, revised book, Completely in the Lovelace, but he's going to sell the older version, which is probably a priceless collectible you've probably seen on eBay. So, you know, that type of thing.
Does it coincide with the Linda Lovelace movie that's in development?
There's two Linda Lovelace movies. One's based on his book. The other one isn't. So I don't know which is which, but his is more based on – the one he's involved in is more based on his book, because he said the reason he didn't push to get it out was he may as well just release it when it coincides with the movie, which is smart business, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Very true.
Who's got the screaming baby in the background?
I was hearing – putting on the Ritz by Young Frankenstein.
Yeah. I have a screaming baby.
Put on the Ritz!
There are no babies here.
There's just Young Frankensteins.
I got that on the background.
Yeah, I can tell.
Oh, that's what it is.
You can hear that. It's in the other room. I mean, I could turn it off, but I don't feel like getting up now. So
you're SOL, buddy.
So we have a little background music, and that's fine.
Yeah,
I dig it.
You have a new, you have a couple new DVDs that are out too, right, Pete?
Yeah, with the After Hours line and the Secret Key line. Well, the long-awaited final chapter, because everything should be a trilogy. Extreme Sleaze Showcase 3. The People and Collection, which does feature the Todd Sheets Midget Tribute. That's on there.
Nice.
And the reason I'm ending it is because certain people have seen it and told me, you can't top this. So I figure, all right, you know, I can still come up with something else just as, you know, horrible. So we'll just end it with the trilogy. You know, that works. And then Night at the Venus, I have three full feature-length films that ran at the old Venus Theater on 8th Avenue in New York. You know, as I had seen them. And this other one, actually, it's out now. Big Boob Bonanza.
Busty Babe Bonanza. Busty I have it right Babe. In front of me.
Oh, you do?
God, yeah, I got a screener courtesy of Secret Key Motion Pictures.
Okay.
They have it at Hastings.
Wow.
And bmovie.com.
That's right.
Good. Maybe somebody will buy it instead of stealing it and downloading it. Oh, I just said it. They'll be on me in a second.
So this is one you're introing this one as well, this Busty Babe Bonanza.
Yeah, that has like three Ushi loops, which Todd would run right out and grab.
You see Arlene Hunter, candy samples.
Yeah. Did you
write the liner notes? I see this liner notes booklet.
Yeah, I wrote the liner notes, as I always do.
Oh, forget it. You know what? It's full screen. I can't watch this. Sorry, guy.
Ah!
Okay.
Yeah, it's full screen. Yeah. Sorry, having a fanboy moment there, you know.
Okay, well, you know, talking about new releases and things being released and stuff, we may as well just, you know, tell people the truth that you and I have decided to start a little releasing company called Kick-Ass Releasing.
That's right.
And our first big release is coming out November 22nd, the very best of WSU Women Superstars Uncensored, who I've had a relationship with on my radio show and also at their shows. And basically what it is I handpicked what I felt were the 10 best matches that epitomized what WSU was all about. And, you know, on some there's commentary, on the shorter ones there's commentary by WSU superstar Jana and the Mass Mr. X, who we brought in at great expense to ourselves, because Mass Mr. X doesn't just fly up out of wherever he lives, you know, for nothing. And we also have, what do we have, four radio shows on there?
Yeah, it's about close to 5 hours of radio shows from Jackalope.
Yeah, Yeah, for when, you know, primetime Amy Lee, Angel Orsini, Mercedes Martinez, Rick Cataldo, all those people that, you know, had been on the show and are on the DVD, we figured, you know, as a little Ed bonus, we throw in, you know, some of these, you know, radio spots so you get some background on what's going on. So it's a great package. And we, like we say, it'll be in stores November 22nd on Amazon.com. Hopefully we'll be at the next pay-per-view November 19th in beautiful downtown Union City, New Jersey. But I'll have to drive 8 hours to get to. But hey, what the hell.
So, oh, it's worth it. It's worth it. You have to unveil your baby there.
Yeah, I know.
And that, so that means Todd's on this DVD.
Amy says a lot of pleasantries with Todd. She exchanges a lot of pleasantries with him.
You have to pay Todd a royalty now.
Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah, I don't think we'll have any royalties. Nope.
Then Jackalope should be paying me royalties for all the downloads. God.
But wait, aren't the downloads free?
Yeah.
Oh, then how can you be paid a royalty?
Because people should chip in, damn it. You know. That's why this business is what it is. But you know, we also are going to be releasing some other stuff. Blood Wrestling, the Mike Watt, Amy Lynn Best production that I was actually the MC for, which is some pretty crazy stuff because these chicks actually go out there and pummel each other. And let's see, what else do we have on tap?
In blood. That's the best part. Yeah, you left out the best part.
Well, blood wrestling, what do you want? It speaks for itself.
Well, that could be just like wrestling that gets bloody, but they actually just jump into blood and start wrestling.
Yeah. Pools of blood. Buckets of blood are used. That's fun for the whole family. And what, do we have something else on tap? I know we have a couple secret projects we can't speak
about. There's a couple top secret black ops type projects, but we'll get to that some other show.
Yeah.
Did you know Todd's movies go for upwards of $100 on Amazon on VHS, the VHS collectors?
Wow.
Yeah.
There's no accounting for taste, you know?
Vampire Holocaust is $90, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, if Todd got royalties for that stuff, you know, he wouldn't have to do this stuff with the radio show. He could be, you know.
I'd still do it, but maybe I could pay the bills without scraping every month, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there's an idea, Todd. Now, listen, you must have somewhere in a basement or a drawer or a garage some of these old VHS tapes that you produced in your heyday when you were doing this. Throw them on Amazon.
Man.
Signed.
Signed.
The problem is some of those movies I disowned, so I'd feel bad.
What do you mean? You disowned?
Yeah, I disowned some of those, man. Some of those are
just... Hey, look, a buck's a buck.
Yeah, send them to Pete. He'll put them on eBay for you.
I'll put them on eBay for you. I'll take my usual cut of 70%. You know.
There you go.
Now, no, as long as no collector is listening to this right now, because if a collector is listening, they're going to contact Todd directly and be all sweet and nice, and he's going to send them one for free because he's a fan.
Oh, I'm a big fan of yours. Could you sign one and send it over? I'm too poor to have a DVD player. I just got this big clunky VHS thing that weighs 80 pounds from the early 1980s.
But make sure it's sealed, though. Make sure it's sealed.
Yeah, make sure it's sealed, you know. Don't forget to sign it. No, I don't want it personalized. Yeah.
Yeah, please don't personalize it.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass it on to my son when I go to great VHS. And
2 days after it's sent out, it's on eBay.
That's just about how it works.
What a bunch of cynical bastards we've become. You know, it's just like, you know, like I say, you know, Rob, you're one of the few good guys in the business. You know, you're a good friend, and like, so is Todd. But, you know, you look at some of these other people, what a bunch of shady bastards, you know, really.
There's a little bit of that. Isn't there that in every business, though?
Yeah, but more so in this one.
There's something about it that attracts. I mean, you know what it is? There's no formal. I mean, you can go to film school, but there is really no formal education. You know, I taught myself.
Yeah, right.
You guys taught yourself. I mean, it's just there is no like, oh, well, he went to Harvard or he has a degree in this or that. It's just kind of like if you're doing it, you're legit. So whatever you do within that realm of doing it, is that that's where you're judged.
Yeah, no, I went to the University of Friedman and Michaels. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Didn't we all?
Yeah,
didn't
I know.
We all?
They were mentors to us all.
Well, it's Speaking of, I want to talk about this because I know Pete, you might have a comment on this. This movie Creature that came out. Sid Haig.
Yeah. What did you hear?
No, I didn't hear anything. I just read. No, I've never even seen the movie. I'm just fascinated by it that they got it into so many theaters on an independent level. And it tanked, but listen, I think, that's the problem. It's like, I first read about it, I didn't even know it was going theatrical. I saw an ad on TV, on cable one night, and it was definitely a very low-budget commercial, when I was like, wow, and I just remember, you know, hearing a little bit of buzz, they were taking out a lot of ads, and the damn thing played all over the country, and so what if it tanked? That's fine, maybe they did things the wrong way, maybe it wasn't the right one to put out into theaters.
It was good. The problem is that no one knew. I mean, at the AMC where it was playing here, there was no movie posters. There was nothing. Not even a little plug.
That's because they gave them all out at Saturday Nightmares.
They gave out all the posters.
From what I heard, they sent them to these theaters, and the theaters themselves wouldn't put them up because the space is now, even in some theaters, I know for it's true, I don't know about the AMC, but some theaters actually sell that space to like Disney and places like that, Lionsgate, to put their posters in. So they're kind of rented spaces.
Right.
Yeah, very frustrating.
So in other words, even if I don't have a movie playing there, I can rent that space to promote a movie that's coming out 6 months from now.
I'll tell you what, there have been times when they've promoted movies at this AMC and they've had the poster and the movie never even came there. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've seen that.
Midnight Meat Train comes to mind because I had to drive 7,000,000 miles to see Midnight Meat Train in a theater.
Or what about posters for movies that just never come? Or they go right to DVD, or, you know, something's promoted 2 years ahead of time, you've forgotten about it before it ever shows up.
I mean, Creature was a fun throwback movie. It had a few plot holes, but Sid was fantastic.
I heard. Sid was good. Joe Netter said Sid was good. He says the movie got a hole. He gave it away, The Night from Horror Realm. He gave the ending away, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Who, Sid did?
No,
Netter did. He goes. You know, you've never hung out with Joe. Joe goes, you know what? I'm going to give the ending away. Then he, you know, went into graphic detail about how it ended and how shitty it was. So,
but I didn't think it was shitty at all, and I thought really they did the best with what they could. I just thought there was a few plot holes because you could tell. I think it had to do with the editing. You could tell it had been massively cut to get it into theaters.
You like gore-wise, you mean?
Yeah, a lot of the violence and stuff was just cut right out.
1,500
According to what I read, there was no on-screen kills.
That's the weirdest thing, because there were like two, but the original reviews that you were reading before the movie went theatrical were saying how gory it was going to blow your mind, and then when it got here, I was like...
Well, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be one of those, okay, let's see what they took out when they put it back on DVD, whether it makes any sense or not.
Right.
They'll be selling the uncut or director's cut on
director's cut. DVD. The version we couldn't show you in theaters because we tanked.
It's worked before. that gimmick has worked before.
Oh, yeah.
Many times. Many
times. I just saw Contagion. It's hard to, you know, describe how I feel about an end-of-the-world virus movie that almost put me to sleep.
Was it that bad?
Wasn't it all done before, like just a little bit ago with Outbreak? Wasn't it kind of the same movie?
Even Outbreak. I mean, people died and they looked like, in Outbreak, they looked like they put little gummy bears on their faces. This one, they just got sweaty and nasty, and it was Lawrence Fishburne again. You know, come on, Larry. Aren't you a little overexposed lately? You're in everything.
Yeah, he's
isn't that the gummy bear virus? I was just thinking about that.
Gumby very much. I've had
that a couple times.
This thing, they just went into this whole, you know, tracking the virus and people making money off the virus. And, you know, I don't know. It was just, I'm sitting there going, then I wind up getting sick last night. So maybe the thing got me sick. So
now there you go. A movie that you put in and you watch
actually
gives you a virus.
I like that.
There's a plot right there.
We should release something with that. You know what we'll do is we'll say we got anthrax-infested DVDs and put like little things of baby powder in the package.
Yeah, that'll get us distribution.
Out. Oh, yeah.
Wait, you could put a little white packet in every DVD. You could actually have it inserted into every DVD.
Yeah, they don't have the DEA checking us out.
Maybe. I'm sure the chains will love that, like Best Buy.
The chains will love that. And the border crossing, you know, trying to get them into Canada. Yeah, that'd be fun, too. Get them into the UK.
Really good. It's like
I sound like I lost you guys. Creature, I want to give them credit for getting. They did not four-wall the movie. That was actually programmed. I mean, people actually booked the movie. It wasn't. See, that's the difference. Like, you or I can go take a movie and play it in any theater in New York and say, hey, we played it in New York for a week, and we could pay $700 a day to do so for a week. But they didn't do that. So I give them credit. You know what? At the very least, it's opened some kind of door for to get people thinking, to get independent, a real independent, not, you know, IFC independent, not fake independent, you know, not New Line independent, that type of, you know, kind of critically or Hollywood sanctioned independent. Real independent people start thinking about how to do it, if it's a feasibility. Maybe it's not, maybe this is the test run. But also, they made so much press, so much bad press about it doing worse. You know, it's got like worst opening in 1,000+ theaters in the last 20 years, blah, blah, blah. This whole thing is like such a nerd fanboy like definition of this movie. Well, is the movie any good though? No, well, it's 1,000+ theaters. It made less money than this movie made 10 million by this time. And this movie that was only in 80 theaters made this much. It's like, that's all they're talking about. It's kind of like, it's like mathematics. I'm like, I don't care. Is the
well,
movie?
We've had this discussion before, because it seems like some of these, you know, there's fans and there's fanboys, and some of these drooling fanboys seem to think that the business owes them or they're part of the business, which they're not. And we've said this before. And these are the people who honestly screw everything up for everybody, because they're so damn overly critical. They sit on their dead asses in their basement. They're on Facebook 24/7, and they're not happy unless they're ripping somebody apart, because that they think that makes them part of the business. Well, I'm here to tell you it doesn't. It makes you an idiot. But in being an idiot, you're screwing over guys that are actually out there trying to do stuff.
Yep.
I think it was Yahoo that broke that story on Creature, that it was like worst per screen average.
Yeah.
Well, of course, no one even goes back and says, well, even the biggest
release into 1,000. It's like,
well, I agree. Are we still here, Pete?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep.
All right, good. There you are.
There you go. Oh, no, dropped out, Todd.
Sorry. I was going to say that the latest, you know, the thing is, even a Hollywood flop, they pour, you know, $750,000 into the marketing campaign at least. When compared to J-Lo's latest fiasco, I'm sure it's if you take away the $1 million ad campaign, it's actually probably still way ahead of that piece of crap, you know?
Well, my point is, you know, that instead of looking at the positive and saying, well, maybe this is, you know, this is an attempt at something, you know, to me, and I read something, the director of the film, you know, was kind of complaining about all the bad reviews and kind of got very angry in some interviews and stuff, which, you know, you need a little bit of a thick skin, but I guess it got to him, you know, you get
after
so much
a while,
bad
yeah.
publicity. Yeah, you've put all this money and time into this thing over years, and your life's kind of riding on it, you know. It's your livelihood, at least, is riding on it. You might have all your personal money invested, whatever. And he's pissed off. The guy was pissed off, and it was clear. And then now everybody's about, oh, well, I wanted to see the movie until I heard him complaining about the bad reviews. It's like, well, you know, you're going to find a reason not to like this movie, whether it's that it bombed or it doesn't, you know, the poster wasn't good enough. It looked a little photoshopped and homemade. You know, I don't like the creature makeup, whatever. You're going to find, if you don't want to like it, if you want something to hate, it's perfect. There you go. You know, but I'm saying look at it a little bit differently. Just try to say, hey, some guys that did something. Whatever, the guy had connect, his father was in the business, whatever, he used his connections, the same thing any one of us would have done if we had an uncle in the business or something, you know, you Pete, myself, Todd, if we had somebody in the business, we would exploit that to get our projects done too, so you can't fault him for that his dad was in the business or something, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, let's look at a positive. What he's not, or maybe he is thinking, is that this publicity is going to sell a bunch of DVDs, because there is a whole contingent of people out there that want to see bad movies. So if somebody says, oh, worst movie ever made, bombed at the box office, people are going to buy it in droves. Look at The Room, if either of you have ever seen that.
The Room? What's The Room?
The Room. There's no horror or horror.
Look at Devil. Another one.
Devil.
Yeah.
Bombed.
I liked it, though.
Bad. As a fan following.
Tell me what it was about. Who was the devil?
Yeah, that's... Well, the devil was this little old lady.
Devil was always the lady.
I didn't see it.
Oh, sorry.
This is a spoiler-free show.
Oh, well.
You haven't maybe seen it. We should make it a spoiler show. Let's make it a spoiler show.
It's on HBO. Everybody's seen it
now. I don't have HBO. Why would I have that? I have
some. I don't know. I got it. I might get rid of it. I just got it for politically incorrect and what the fuck? Oops, excuse me. I dropped an F-bomb. Ouch. I'm sorry. Okay.
Golly. Do we get little beeps, Todd, when that happens?
Yeah, I'll put something in there.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm just so used to my own foul show, you know. I mean,
trying to take me down my first time out, man. Thanks a lot.
No, I almost took myself down. I made the whole system crash 2 weeks ago with the Horror Realm show.
He did, too. He did.
Downloads crashed the server. Yeah, that
you
that
were
was
live whole, on location?
Oh, yeah. It was a whole exercise in depravity.
It was, you know, nuts is what it was.
The only celebrity I had was Bill Johnson until Joe Netter showed up. Then it went downhill from there. You know, John from Gut Munchers, Ed Demko, Tim Gross didn't get involved. Russ did, though. He was drunker than hell. Yeah, it was a complete train wreck. We were burying people and everything. I'm sure I haven't heard the repercussions of that yet, but hell. What?
No, I was just, did it top to show you guys did it at Wasteland with the spanking?
I don't know. That was pretty.
That was a class by itself. Plus, we have video of that on YouTube, I believe.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, that's kind of got its own.
It's following. On YouTube?
Yeah.
Am I in it? I hope I'm not in it.
I know there's a lot of weird stuff in there. He's got all this footage he shot in this supposed documentary he's going to make of me, you know. But he never gets out the Wasteland. So
I'm going to make a documentary on you, Pete. I'm going to do it. I actually wanted to make a TV show, but it would have to be on a station that wouldn't mind cussing, because we'd follow Pete around everywhere.
I think, well, you could do
it. They did
it
with Ozzy Osbourne, they just kept bleeping him. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't want him to bleep you, because it's too funny.
Like TV?
Yeah, yeah.
That could work. Want that? Who would want that? Like, Discovery? I don't know. I mean, who would...
What are you going to call the show?
Let's see. AMC Nat.
Spike would take. They put it on opposite a thousand Ways to Die.
Yeah, this would be a 1,001 Way to Die.
Yeah, yeah.
That is watch funny. My show.
Hey, Pete, if I send you some DVDs from bmovie.com, would you come on and review them on the air?
Sure.
I ask you on the air so you can't say no?
Yeah, well, I can always... DVDs on eBay like all the rest of the so-called reviewers do.
Hey, this is something else. This whole show has been it's been like the deal makers show this time. We're all making deals on the air.
Well, yeah, we are.
We'll put
Todd and I signed.
You want us
Todd
to put
and I signed, signed the, what's that?
We put Todd's movies out.
We were kind of talking about something similar.
Yeah. But all his stuff is tied up right now with Pop Cinema, with Camp Video, right?
I'm going to make sure they still want these last four and that they're going to put them out. And then if they say no, then we'll have to put them there. But we were talking about a documentary I'm getting ready to film this fall. So, yeah, it's going to be kind of cool to have someone behind it that loves it.
Like who?
Like Wild Eye Releasing.
Oh. We're not Wild Eye Releasing.
Well, whatever. It's Kick-Ass. All right.
If I'm involved, it's Kick-Ass. If I'm not involved, it's Wild. But I don't even know. Well, it was Wild. Well, Wild Eye's got its own library now, anyway. So
that's true.
Yeah. I'm confused. Which company am I involved in right now?
You got two.
And don't forget, we're sponsored by BMovie.com, guys.
Oh, we are.
Yes, BMovie.com is sponsoring. They're sending us tons of movies to review. In fact, in my hands, I have Crippled Masters Part 2 and Part 3, and if you don't know what they are, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, they're great. Wonderful films, you know?
I love those movies.
One with no arms, one with no legs. You figure it out.
He's got flippers. They use each other for karate and stuff. It's great. It was one of those things that brought the house down on the deuce.
Oh, it was, yeah.
It brought the house down in Elizabeth, New Jersey when I saw it with my dad. Yes, yeah. It does bring the house down. I bet you it still brings the house down. There's a room full of baked 20-year-olds watching this stuff just going insane.
Yeah, put it on a double bill with the Masters of the Flying Guillotine. Yeah. Another perennial favorite.
Oh, yeah. Not only that, yeah. I mean, there's four. I think there are four Crippled Masters movies. They only put out two and three right here. But there are two others.
So they had number one out. New Line put it out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. Well, these two I don't think are... Yeah, these are from Apprehensive Films.
Oh, great.
Who put out a lot of cool little independent stuff. I also have here Invasion of the Blood Farmers.
Oh, wow! I haven't seen that in years. Yeah.
Pete, remember that one?
Yeah.
Just came out on DVD. You want me to send it to you for review?
Oh, yeah.
It's the one in upstate New York. That one's a lot of fun.
You want these back or you get to keep them?
Nah, you want to keep them? You can keep them, of course. That's the deal, right? I can't pay you, so you get to keep the DVD, right?
Well, nobody can pay me. I can't eat DVDs and poop out plastic. You know?
Nobody can pay me. I'm plugging these guys, and I'm not getting
paid. Well, you should send us boxes of ones.
I get one penny. I get one penny every time I say their name. I told Todd that earlier.
You really get a penny?
I get one penny every time I say the name. So one show, it's just going to be me saying it over and over again. No, I don't get a penny.
Well,
that's silly, Pete.
The way things are, you know, what happened to my 40 acres
that's
in a
true.
Mule? Yeah.
That's true. What if I 40 acres in a mule? You got 40 DVD.
40 dumpster split DVDs. And a dumpster. Yeah, and a bit broken. Thank you,
Media. Broken hand truck.
Yeah.
And a scratch. Yeah, and a scratch.
Still proudly pushes around his neighborhood. Yeah.
I saw Britain on Saturday, pal.
Where?
At the Geek Flea Market in Kearney, New Jersey, which was an awesome show. Yeah, it was just like geek stuff. It was like you just sell like video games and toys, and it was kind of like a horror convention without the celebrities. But it wasn't just horror. It was like Star Wars stuff, and people just had rare stuff. The prices were great. It was no attitudes, no crap. I mean, it was in a little church, maybe 25 tables. Everybody was so cool, man. They had food there. It's done by a site called unwinnable.com, which is kind of like a mishmash culture blog online zine, you know, video game culture. But like the oddball stuff, like people would bring their video games that they made, set them up there, and you could play them.
Yeah.
In old cabinets, you know, in the like old Pac-Man cabinets, they made their own video games. But that's how geeky this geek flea was.
Yeah, Todd would have been having orgasms.
Better than a lot of horror conventions. No Batman there, but there was a guy dressed like Captain America walking around.
That is awesome.
Todd.
I'm here.
I got one more from bmovie.com for this episode. It's called, and check this out, The Puppet Monster Massacre.
Puppet Monster Massacre.
You remember Pete, Let My Puppets Come?
Yeah.
It's like that, crossed with Meet the Feebles and like an 80s monster movie. I mean, it's just incredible. And I'm keeping this one for myself. I'll give it a full review in another episode because I know we're running low on time, Todd. And The Puppet Monster Massacre, you can get at bmovie.com, b-movie.com. I'll send it to you when I'm done watching it, Pete. You have to see it. It's just gore, puppets, monsters, think 80s cheesy horror.
That's awesome. I saw it at Hastings. I almost picked it up.
You should, seriously. What is it, like $10? I mean, I think it's pretty cheap, too. Yeah, it's worth every penny.
And anybody ever get a screener in Nightmare? Three different versions?
I got it. I bought it.
Yeah, how is it?
It's great.
Yeah.
The movie's awful, and I love every minute of it. Well, it's about that time, Rob.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in for the inaugural show, Movies Hate You. I'm Rob Hauschild. We are sponsored by bmovie.com. Pete and Todd, thank you so much for coming on board. And
welcome to the Jackalope dysfunctional family.
That's right.
Hey, I'm proud to be a part of this family, and I hope to make it as dysfunctional as possible.
Yay. See everybody next time.